this summer is all about wisdom. Like, wisdom on today, right? It's not an accident. It's not an accident that Kyle was going to start wisdom today and that he chose the wise choice to take care of his family first. It's not by accident that you're here today to experience this. It's not by accident that we would start a collection of talks about wisdom on Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, by the way. Dads. None of that's an accident. God in his eternal wisdom, like God is like outside of the first person point of view, if you understand that. God is eternal, so his perspective is eternal. So he sees outside of sort of the timeline of our life, right? And God in his wisdom chose today, because I think he has some special encouragement, especially for fathers today. And I want to start our time just encouraging you dads. In his eternal wisdom, God chose you to be the father of your kids. Like, God gave that to you. God chose you to do that. You know what that means? That means he has equipped you. He has qualified you. It might not always feel like that, right? Because fatherhood starts really fun for dads. Like, cool, that's great. And then mom makes a whole baby without using her hands. And then she delivers the baby. And what feels like 15 minutes later, you got a whole human you got to bring home. I have two kids. I have a 4-year-old and a 9-month-old, both girls. Girls' dads in the house, what's up? Cool. Our first kid, I was super nervous, right? Super nervous, like walking. The nurse was like, I'll walk you down to the car. I was like, good. Hopefully you come with us home and be with us. And so she walks us down. She was so beautiful and so kind to us. We got mom loaded up. The car seat, the baby situated. She, a beautiful smile. She said, here you go. And I went, no thanks. I said, no thanks to my kid. I was so nervous because I didn't feel qualified. You got a whole human. You got a whole human to take care of. And it comes with no instruction manual. And you're a dad, you wouldn't read the instruction manual anyway. Who are we kidding? If you walk into any room and you see a dad with an instruction manual open, just know whatever he's working on has already broken. He broke it and he's trying to fix it before you get in there and notice that he got to buy another one. No, dads, this is a great day. Father's Day is a great day because fatherhood is a thing that's like a great joy. And so my encouragement to you dads today as we get started is, if you're in the trenches and you're doing it, well done. You're going to stumble through some parts, you're going to have some highs, some lows, but well done. Fatherhood is a gift, and you are a gift to your children. You are the dad that your kids need. Don't forget that, all right? So, with wisdom, I want to start this 7 weeks off in a important way to kind of give us the outline that we're going to use every single week with all of our teachers. We've got a great lineup this summer. We chose wisdom for this summer as teachers because we have seen that the world, well, it's full of foolishness, all right? I mean, there's a lot of wild stuff happening. And you might hear that and immediately go, yeah, political so-and-so is a fool and this person is that, and the proverbial they's and all. We're not talking about any of that. What we're talking about is we're talking about like godly wisdom. Because the reality is, every era of humanity has had a level of foolishness. Has had a level of like, what were they thinking? You ever look back and go, what was I thinking? Let me give you an example. Before 1970-something, people were like, you know what's a great idea? Let's put lead in paint. Remember when that was like, oh, that's a great idea. Anybody in the 80s, born in the 80s or grew up in the 80s? I can hear my voice. Okay. You guys and gals thought it would be a great idea to put as much hairspray as you possibly can in your hair. And no one can see in front of you, or no one can see behind, like that, oh, yeah. Any 90s kids in the house? 90s kids, yeah? You're not off the hook. You guys are walking around looking like this. Remember this guy? This was the guy who was like, is that guy homeless or is he in Pearl Jam? Which one is he? If you're young in here and you're like, man, old people are weird. Yeah, you're right. They are. But you're not off the hook either. Those TikTok dances you're doing, they live on the internet forever. Good luck. Every era has something that seemed wise in the moment, but it actually was kind of foolish. And the world is full of what looks like wisdom or what's false wisdom, and God has more for us. And it's important to recognize that as we get started in these 7 weeks because there's no neutral ground when it comes to wisdom. You see, Jesus talks about our spiritual enemy. He calls him the father of lies. And you ever believed a lie and felt like a fool after? See, the father of lies, He wants you to believe those lies to ultimately become a fool. See, the stakes are high when it comes to wisdom. That's why all of our teachers in the next few weeks are going to be unpacking what does wisdom look like in different aspects of life. What does wisdom look like with our finances, with our time, with our relationships, with our conflict, with suffering? What does wisdom look like from God's point of view with those things? Because there's an enemy out there that wants you to believe lies about wisdom and wants you to become a fool. But God has wisdom for you, and he has wisdom for me, and we're going to unpack that this summer. So I'm really excited for the summer. Let's pray before I continue on, cool? God, thank you for today. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the opportunity to just unpack it and learn more about who you are and what you've called us to. God, would you give us the ability to understand, the ability to know, and the ability to walk this thing out every day. We love you, and we trust you. Amen. So wisdom, to a lot of us, might feel like an optional pursuit. It might feel like something like, yeah, I can either choose to be wise or I cannot. Or I can like lean into like that spiritual eliteness and like be a pastor and be wise, or be a group leader and be wise, or be a Bible study person and be wise. Or I can just be kind of like normal. That's not the case. Wisdom is for all of us. God has created wisdom for all of us to pursue it. And the benefits of wisdom are huge. In the book of Proverbs, which is one of the books in the Bible noted as wisdom literature, okay, it's Proverbs, it's Ecclesiastes, and it's Job, okay? Proverbs, written mostly by King Solomon, Ecclesiastes also, Job written by someone else, and we're going to be unpacking all three of those books as we think about, like, what does wisdom look like in our lives? But Proverbs 3 is where we're going to start today as we start on this journey. It says this, verse 13, happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. That's the benefit of wisdom. Like precious rubies, precious jewels, this treasure that's like so valuable, it's worth everything to. Like that's what wisdom gives us in our lives. When we come to follow Jesus, we receive his power, and we receive the Holy Spirit, and then we get to walk out these days in wisdom. And Solomon, who wrote these words, it's important you recognize that Solomon was a king in ancient Israel, and he has this interaction with God, where God basically says, hey, Solomon, ask for anything, anything you want. Like, you know Aladdin, the three wishes, right? Like, he doesn't do that, but he says one thing. I want you to ask me for what you want. You know what Solomon says? Let's read what Solomon says. He says, give your servant an understanding heart to judge that I may discern between good and evil. You know what Solomon asks him for? Solomon asks him for wisdom. And guess what God does? He grants it. Listen to how God responds. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spoke of trees from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, of fish, and of men of all nations. From all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon was the wisest person to ever live. Now you might be like, wait, isn't Jesus the wisest person? Yes, but he was God. Okay, Solomon was the second wisest person, but he was the wisest man to ever live. And he wrote down these words in Proverbs for you and I to realize just how important godly wisdom is. How important this idea of pursuing God is and what it looks like to actually live it out. And one of the frameworks as you read Proverbs, which I recommend, by the way, I recommend you read Proverbs. You know, if you have a summer reading list or something like that, I recommend putting Proverbs at the very top of it. It's 31 chapters. You can read like a chapter a day, and you could be through it in a month. It's really powerful, especially if like you're just starting your faith journey or just starting to like dig into scripture. It is a really helpful framework for life, written by Solomon, who lays this thing out in all of Proverbs. You're going to see kind of two things contrasted. You're going to see wisdom, and you're going to see foolishness. And the reason why he does that is because there are really only two outcomes when it comes to living wisely. You're either wise or you ain't. You're either a person who walks wisely or a person who walks like a fool. There's not like a neutral in between of that. Proverbs 3:35 says this, "The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools." All throughout Proverbs, there's different sort of synonyms that go hand in hand with wise and foolish. Let me read some of them that are described as wise. So the wise person is described as prudent, diligent, discerning, upright. The fool, on the other hand, described as scoffer, drunkard, simple, dang, mocker, right? Like stuff that we don't want to be described as, right? There's only two options here. There's not a middle ground. The wise follow wisdom, and fools follow folly. And you and I, we get to pick which one we are. We get to pick which one we follow. And as I was talking through, we were talking through this as a team, as a teacher's team, to kind of like, so what do we want to lay out? We want to lay out like where wisdom comes from, like the wisest person with the Proverbs and all of the wisdom that come from and that sort of thing. And we also wanted to lay out like, are there multiple kinds of wisdom? Are there like different kinds of wisdom? And it really came down to this, okay? There are two kinds of wisdom. It's God's wisdom as found in the scriptures, and then there's everything else. And so a way to find out if it's wisdom or not, does it line up with the Bible, right? Does it line up with what is in the scripture? And the idea of this isn't confined to just like the wisdom literature in Proverbs. You see this sort of throughout the Bible. And the Apostle Paul, who we talked about a few weeks ago, he writes this in Colossians chapter 2. He says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." You see, there's like this thing that looks wise and looks like wisdom, and it sounds cool, but it's not actually godly wisdom. And we have a lot of phrases like that in our world, don't we? We have phrases like make a name for yourself. I work with a lot of young people, a lot of like young professionals, and the big lie, they all walk and go, I gotta be the smartest person in the room. I gotta know all the answers. I gotta get it all done. Like, hey, relax, there's wild one. It's cool. Here's another one. Here's another one that is pretty popular. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You guys know that one? Never actually seen anyone do that physically in life, but the idea of like, you gotta do it on your own. That sounds like wisdom on the surface, but really it's just the principle of men. Here's another one. Your faith is private. That's a big one, right? Especially today, right? You're like, you believe what you believe. I believe what I believe. We won't talk about it, and I'll try to keep my grass cut so that we don't have neighborhood arguments. That's not in the scriptures. Be true to yourself. That's a big one, especially today in an individual society, right? Everyone's an individual and everybody. Be true to you. I heard somebody say recently, choose you. Like, that's not in the scriptures. That's not godly wisdom, but it sounds cool. You see the need for wanting to unpack who God says we are and what God says about wisdom, as opposed to just kind of following along with the folly of the world, folly of culture. So what does godly wisdom have to offer? Like, what are the benefits? Well, we've read them earlier, but there's one in there that I think gets looked over a lot. And so I want to read the Proverbs chapter 3 verse that we read earlier. Let's read it again. The first part of it. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Happy. That sounds nice, doesn't it? Anybody like to be happy? Yeah, sometimes in church, you're like, am I allowed to be happy? Yes, it clearly says it here. Happy is you if you find wisdom. If you gain understanding, you will have a product in your life that will be happy. Too many times, I know in my past, I believed that like, if I gain godly wisdom, then I got to be like a monk, you know, and I got to like turn off all electronics and go live in the caves of Tibet and go like chill up there and do whatever they do up there all day. I don't know. But no, God's saying, look, a product of you finding wisdom is that you're happy. So that means this. That means if we pursue wisdom, the result is happiness. Too many of us switch those, don't we? We pursue happiness in hopes to get wise. God's saying, no, I'm going to lay this out for you in order. I'm going to lay this out to you in order that you should pursue it. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. I'll see you guys next week. This has been fun. It's really clear. It's really clear in Scripture that wisdom is the thing. Like, it is the thing. That's why we've dedicated 7 weeks to it. That's why we've got to uncover it. That's why we've got to beat back all the lies and the noise around it. It's because it is the thing. Now, finding godly wisdom, I wish it was a magic pill. I wish there was like a DoorDash for it, which you can get anything on DoorDash, by the way. I don't know if you know that. Literally anything. Name a product. We will buy it on DoorDash. It'll be here by the middle of next service. I was at a wedding recently in Florida, and my friend had a teenage son that something happened with plumbing at the home. He needed a plunger. So at the wedding, we just ordered him a plunger from 4 states away, and it showed up in 30 minutes. It was fantastic. Like, we live in a really sweet time in history where you can just do that. And you could pick up, like, chicken wings on the way. So someone would deliver you a plunger and chicken wings and Pepto, all in the same. It's an amazing thing. And it doesn't take a lot of effort. Godly wisdom is not like that. You got to seek it. You got to work towards it. It's not a mistake that we just came out of the book of Acts, all about movement, all about the Acts of the early church and the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's not by accident that we did that and then wisdom. Because if you want wisdom, it's going to require action. It's going to require movement. And you've got to seek it from God. Let's reach Proverbs 1, 4 through 6. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. If you seek her as silver, who's her? Her is wisdom. Solomon had this really interesting personification of wisdom where he describes wisdom as a righteous woman. And he describes foolishness as like an immoral woman. And he says, listen, if you seek her, if you seek wisdom, as you search for hidden treasures, then you will understand God. You will understand wisdom. I wonder how many of us are seeking wisdom like that. I wonder how many of us in our everyday lives are like, man, I just want to be wise and show up wise in this situation. Or I want to have godly wisdom here in my life, right now, at my job, at home, or wherever. Or when so-and-so cuts us off in traffic, which, oh Lord, if that happens again. Are we seeking wisdom like that? Or are we like, we got it all, it's cool. I got it figured, I know a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I got my Bible verses, I show up to church within 5 minutes of it starting, no one knows, it's fine. Or are we seeking wisdom? You see, because people who are wise, they keep seeking. The Christmas story, not the movie with the kid with the thing, but the actual Christmas story in the nativity scene features three wise men. And the origins of those wise men are Jesus was born, and they are off doing their thing in a faraway land, and they see a star, and they go, something's happening there. And they start to pursue that. And they risk their life. They risk a lot to get there. You know why? Because they were never satisfied with what they had. They always knew that God had more for them. And when it comes to wisdom, if you're satisfied with where you are, you will not grow. You've got to seek. You've got to get up and actually seek wisdom. And God wants to give it to you. He's not hiding from you. He's not hiding wisdom from you. They understood, the wise men understood, that they had wisdom that God had given them, but they needed more. They weren't just wise in their own eyes. They wanted to be wise in a godly way. Proverbs 3:7, do not be wise in your own eyes. People who are wise in their own eyes are like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, I'll just kind of hear this, do the thing, and then continue on with my life. People who want to seek wisdom are growing, are taking steps, are stumbling towards it even when it's uncomfortable. That's what God has for you. That's what God has for me as his followers, wisdom. God wants you and I to grow in wisdom. And there is a biblical framework on how to get there. And this is the part that I'm really excited to unpack with all of our teachers over the next couple of weeks. There are it's like a three-part approach to how do you get wisdom. And it starts in Proverbs 1:6. It says this, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Oftentimes in our world, we sort of like put wisdom, knowledge, understanding sort of on the same playing field, but they're different. They're similar words, but they're very distinct, and they're distinct on purpose in the Bible. In Proverbs 9, it says it again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It's all throughout Proverbs, knowledge, understanding, wisdom. And there's a important breakdown that we need to have as we explore the next couple of weeks together on what wisdom looks like in whatever area of your life. Step one, right? The first part of understanding what godly wisdom is and getting to godly wisdom is knowledge. Knowledge, those are the facts. Those are the facts, okay? Knowledge is a sort of a commodity in our world right now. It's not like super treasured because we have it at our fingertips, you know? You can get AI to basically write you anything. If you ever used AI to write you an email, fantastic life hack. Also, it just gives you knowledge. That's it. It doesn't give you anything else. It just gives you facts. It spits those back out, and that's all it has. It can't be the end result for us if it's the beginning result in godly wisdom. You see, we're often looking for knowledge, and that's it. And if you turn on the internet, you're often seeing people throwing facts back and forth. A lot of the problems we have with each other is because your facts don't line up with my facts and his facts. And so everybody's got these facts that they're just tossing around randomly, and we're never getting the knowledge. Let me read you what it says here in Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The word fear shows up a lot as you're reading Proverbs in the wisdom literature. Fear of the Lord. It's important we know what that word means, okay? Fear of the Lord here, translated, doesn't mean like scary movie fear, right? It doesn't mean like Michael Myers or Freddy Krueger or whatever, the little doll thing that runs around, which is a weird concept of a movie, by the way, right? That little doll, kick it, movie's over. But it's not that kind of fear. It's not horror movie fear. The fear of the Lord here is describing reverence. It's basically taking God seriously. So translated another way, taking God seriously is the beginning of knowledge. So you don't get to knowledge of God without taking him seriously. What does that mean for you? That means digging into his word. That means like being around other people who are following him. Getting knowledge about God is taking him seriously. And that is step one. That is step one in godly wisdom. It's foundational that we seek knowledge and continue to seek. But then that can't end there. We have to go to the second word, understanding. And understanding is basically like the connections between the facts. So there are facts that sort of live sort of in outer space, but someone has to connect them all to see, like, to understand what the bigger picture is. You gotta see the facts. You gotta understand the facts. You gotta put the connection between them. I saw this this ad on social media. It's a shoe advertisement. I want to show you real quick. There it is. It's a advertisement for shoes. And here's their tagline. The closest to barefoot you can get. I don't know everything about everything, but the facts that I know is like there are shoes, people need shoes. I thought people needed shoes so that they weren't barefoot. I was like, is this company hot in Kentucky? Like, what's happening? They want to be bare. What's going on? I love Kentucky. There's my people down there. It was weird. It's like, I don't understand. Why would you market shoes that make you feel barefoot? It's like going to a restaurant. No restaurant's ever been like, you hungry? Good, come eat with us. The closest to hungry you'll ever feel. It doesn't make any sense. But then we went to go buy a pair of these shoes, and they were sold out. Turns out there's a market for people who enjoy the feeling of being barefoot, but also want a shoe. Not my people, but there are people like that, right? See, I had to put the facts together to be able to understand, and my understanding was limited. My understanding of the situation was limited. That's why I need understanding outside of myself. And in the same way, if you are going to have understanding about the knowledge of God, about the facts about God, you have got to have people helping you along the way. And more importantly, you've got to have God's voice in that as well. There's a call to gain godly understanding and also a call to not lean on our own understanding. Here's what it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Starting with knowledge, getting the facts, leaning on understanding to put them all together. And then we get to wisdom. And wisdom is simply acting on what you know and understand. That's it. That's the magic. There's no magic pill to it. It's that acting on what you know and what you understand. So the most important thing about biblical wisdom is that it is an action. Jesus calls us out in a really great way in Matthew 7 in one of his most famous sermons. He says this, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, that person is wise. Now, when we think about this framework, we're going to be unpacking it in different spheres of life every week. I got an example for you that I think is going to hit home. I think it makes sense. I think it's a real-world example. I'm going to share it with you, okay? It comes from my life. I grew up in South Florida. Okay, my family migrated here from Trinidad and Tobago when I was a kid. I grew up in South Florida. I moved to Pittsburgh for a few years. Now, Pittsburgh, they got a football team there. Here we go. We don't have a mascot. The Steelers are a good team. They're a historically great team. They got 6 rings over there. Like, it's a thing, you know? They're the record 68-39 versus Cincinnati. Like, they've been dominating. Those are the facts. Understanding would lead me to say, well, Pittsburgh's just a historically better franchise than Cincinnati. But wisdom would tell me that we got a pretty solid team this year, you know what I'm saying? We got a quarterback that could do his thing. We got some support there. We got a little thing happening. So wisdom might tell me, the Steelers ain't got it this year, boys. So wisdom would tell me to put all of that together, and as we walk that out, I'm praying for a Super Bowl win. I don't know if you're allowed to pray for a Super Bowl win, but I'll give it a try. Aggressive mistakes. wisdom is looking at the knowledge, looking at the facts, putting them together, and acting it out. When I was in Pittsburgh, I had a job that had me traveling the country doing different ministry events for young people. We would do 3 or 4 events a week in different cities along the way. So we were always on the go. We were always moving, right? And it was a great run, and we had a great time doing it. Met a lot of awesome people. Met my wife doing that. It was fantastic. And I had these facts that window was closing for me. Like, I was getting a little bit older. I felt like I needed to kind of plant some roots, right? Because I wanted to raise a family. I wanted to have a family one day. So the facts told me, like, hey, if you want to raise a family well, you should probably plant them in a certain area and like let them develop and grow in there. Those are the facts. So my understanding, as I tried to tie these facts together, was one of the facts was there was an opportunity in Cincinnati to come serve, and there was a place called Crossroads. This was 10 years ago, by the way. A long time ago, it feels. 10 years ago, and it felt like it was the right place. It felt like this was a place that lined up with what my wife and I were about, and it was like a place we could call home. It was also my understanding that we didn't know anything really about Cincinnati. Like, we knew Cincinnati as that city that had the really sweet, you know, view when you came in from the north. And we knew Cincinnati was that city where I-75 was under construction a lot. Remember that? We thought to ourselves, it'll be over soon. There's no, can't have construction forever. Gotta tie it together, right? And so we moved here. We took that knowledge, we took that understanding, and we put it to practice, and we moved. Now today, 10 years later, I recognize that was us activating godly wisdom, because we had knowledge that this is what we needed to do. We had understanding that this was an opportunity to do it, and that the dots started to line up, and so we started walking it out. Now, has it been all roses? No, absolutely not. There's something powerful about having to stay in a community even though things don't always go your way. There's something powerful and growing about having to stay in it and not look for the eject button. See, when I was traveling, I was out in 2 days. So whether or not it went well or not, I was like, deuces, I'm going to the next one. It was easy. But now I'm a part of the community. I'm a part of a church. I'm a part of a body. I'm part of a movement. And we're planted here. And we're seeing that wisdom activate. We're seeing the wisdom of God show up in our lives in new ways that we didn't even expect. We have deep friendships now. It took a while to get there, but we kept going after it. We have people that we can call if there's a crisis now in our lives. It took a little while to get there, but man, I'm telling you, it works. When you take your knowledge, take your understanding and put it into practice, God shows up and you get godly wisdom. I'm a better leader, father, and all of those things because of this place, because we stepped into what God had for us here. And God wants the same thing for you. God wants the same thing for you. He wants you to activate that knowledge, activate that understanding, and start to actually walk it out before you have all the details figured out, before you know the exact answers to all the questions. He wants you to get up and move. You grow in wisdom by doing it. It's like you grow in fatherhood by doing it. That's how you grow in godly wisdom. And that's the way God has set it up, and that's what he wants for you. You will have to act on incomplete knowledge and understanding. You will have to move on that. Here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. You see that there? Do you see it there tucked away in the verse? In Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom. See, when you allow Jesus to come into your life, he gives you power, he gives you access to himself, he gives you a model for life, and he gives you himself as a source of wisdom. So where are you in life? Where is your thing? Like, where is it that you need wisdom? What aspect of your life do you want the wisdom of God to show up and not be like anything else, but be more powerful, more potent? As we start to wrap this thing up, I want you to just think about your life for a second, but I want to do something different to end our time here. Everybody stand up real quick. Just stand up with me. Stay where you stand up. Don't start packing your stuff up yet. Just stand up for a second. And I want you to think about your life. Another portion of scripture, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is a way to godly wisdom, and it goes through Jesus. Last verse I want to share with you today is from James 1:5. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, then it will be given to him. You lacking wisdom today? Ask God. You need more wisdom in a certain situation in your life? Ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. That means God has wisdom. He's ready to give you. All you got to do is take the step and actually ask him. He's got something for you that's more than you could ask or imagine. That will be the thing that needs to happen in the situation that you're in, and he is waiting for you to ask him. And he's going to give it to you freely. He's given us his son freely. He's given us Jesus freely, and he's given us all that comes with that. You want to be a better dad? Ask him. You want to be a better spouse? Ask him. You want to be a better teacher, a better student, a better roommate, a better person in your neighborhood? Ask him. He has it for you. He's good like that. He's good to us. So maybe your first big step as we get into the wisdom thing is simply asking him, where do you need wisdom today? Where do you need it? I'm going to say a prayer for us. And while I'm praying, I want you to be praying. And just saying, God, I need your wisdom. Insert the blank, wherever it is. Ask him from your heart right now. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for your wisdom and your goodness. Thank you for the way that you love us, the way that you lead us, God. Thank you for the knowledge of who you are. Thank you for understanding how all of that ties together and is relevant to our lives. And God, we're asking for wisdom. We're asking for wisdom in our home, wisdom in our job, wisdom wherever it might be. We need you, Lord. We need you, God, to show up. We're asking you, God, please give us wisdom. We know you want to give it to us, God, so we thank you in advance. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed real quick, just, hey, if you're a dad in here, I just want you to put your hand up really high for me real quick. Just put your hand up. So if you're around a dad or with a dad, just put your hand on their shoulder just real quick, or put your hand out towards them if it's weird to touch them or whatever. That's fine. I just want to pray a special blessing over fathers today on Father's Day as we get into wisdom. Being a father requires a lot of wisdom, and we all need it. So let me say a prayer for you dads. Father, thank you for the way that you love us and the model that you have given us so that we can give to our children. And God, I pray for all of the fathers in here who can